We need your prayers. We look into his word. I want to preach on the key, essential, however you want to say it. It is something that we're going to have to do if we're going to make heaven. But it doesn't totally, it's not just, well, it's all to do with salvation, but it's to do with our general life after we get saved. It'll go with us all the way down to the last breath. So it's something that is not a, I think about doing, or I might want to do. It's something you're going to have to do. Amen. It's something that is an absolute essential according to the Word of God. And we desire your prayers as we look into that. How low are you willing to go? How low are you willing to go? We come here with needs. We come here with burdens, maybe problems. But the bottom line is, you're the one that's going to have to be willing to get down just as low as you need to get the help you need to get. Sometimes people think, well, no, I don't have to do that. Brother Hargraves one time, well, he made this statement different times in my working with him and hearing him preach and so forth. He said that a lot of times people come down to the altar riding in a chariot. He said they ought to be slithering down like a snake on their belly. In other words, they need to get real low. All right, let's go to Zechariah 9 and 9. I want to talk about the Lord first. I love to preach on Jesus. And on his way that he done, because he left us an example that is an example of perfectness. If we're willing to do what he wants us to do, we're going to have to follow what he says to do. And he's wrote it, he's done it in such a way that he can demand it. 9 and 9 of Zechariah says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, look at, study, think about, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation. He's lowly and riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass." All right, now then I want to go to Luke 1 and 48. He said here, "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden." Talking about Mary here. "For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." Now tonight, thank the Lord. The Lord said in heaven, he's been there since the beginning of time. He helped create everything. He has all power in heaven and earth. He's the one that was chosen, so to speak, selected, however you want to say it, to come down and make a plan. There was a way needed. There was a plan needed. The old one wasn't working well. And so consequently, he said, "Father, I will go. I will go and do what needs to be done." And tonight, he said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee." Thank the Lord tonight he's come. He has come and he's come riding in. He's come looking it over. He has come and he's approached. He is working. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the one that has built the Church of God. He's the one that has saved thousands of millions of souls down through the years. He's the one that is a blessing to everybody that comes to him. And he done it riding low. He didn't come marching in a big Lincoln or Navigator or Cadillac in some way or a big SUV or a presidential limo. He come in low, riding low, down low, but he come in. He was a King of Kings. He was a Lord of Lords, and he showed up, and he come in such a way that he demands our confidence tonight. Demands our confidence. Thank the Lord, lowly and riding upon a foal. I'm going to tell you, they were making a lot of racket about that time. They were doing a lot of praising and shouting when he come in. And he rode in and he sat over here, and then 1 in 48 of Luke said he regarded, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. His very mother was low, pure, I can almost see Mary as a very chaste, very low in her opinion of herself. Well, she was, as far as that goes. But she was everything needed. And so he was born of an individual that was of lowly estate. She was low also. She wasn't anything big and great, but yet all people are going to call her blessed, praise of God. All right, let's go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians 4 and 8. Ephesians 4 and 8. Wherefore he saith, let's go 4 and 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, he gave gift unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above, up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. I don't want to tie that with Philippians 2 and 5. Philippians 2 and 5. This is back where I was preaching the other morning. But it said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, he said over here, back in Ephesians, he said, but unto you, but unto every one of you, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore? How many of you can tell me what these scriptures right here are getting at? There was a man by the name of Brother Austin Wilson that worked among us for many, many years. I had the privilege of working with him, being with him some. And he said this 8th, 9th, and 10th verse was something that he didn't understand for a good many years. He sought the Lord many times trying to get the what God was wanting him to understand these scriptures to be. Some say, well, he went to preach to the souls in hell. And there are different things that's been brought out on this. But he said what the Lord showed him, and this, folks, is the reason he is able to do what he can do, and how he's been able to reach down to the place where he needed to be reached, is the bottom line. Brother Austin said the Lord showed him that what that meant, as when he was working to build the plan of salvation, he went just as low as he needed to go to be able to make a plan that was low enough that it would reach down to the lowest point of any sinner's life that was lost and undone. Whether he's in drug, whether he's in alcohol, whether he's in gambling, no matter what it was, he said that he went low enough that he can reach any soul, any place, at any time. Praise God. So no matter how bad a person is, they may think, I can't get it, I can't have it. But listen, folks, Jesus, in his humility, in his humbleness in every way, in his lowliness, he went down far enough that he's able to get anybody, praise God. He's able to save and deliver. He's able to bring them up and bring them out. He was willing to go down far enough, praise God, to do that. Oh, thank the Lord he can get down to any place. There had been people thought, oh, I can't get it. I can't have it. Yes, you can. We can have it tonight. And no matter how low, sometimes we as people, we get discouraged. We get blue and down and maybe in depression sometimes and in places. But I'm going to tell you, he's able to get right down there, praise God. And he's able to touch you and bless you. He's able to understand you, speak to you because he went low enough. He didn't stop up here. He didn't stop here. He went all the way down, praise God, to be able to help us tonight. Listen, folks, thank the Lord, Jesus, come down in a low, low place whereby he can help us out. He wants to help us tonight. No matter where you're at in life, he's here to help you. He wants to get right down there. Now then, back to Philippians here. He said here, but made himself of no reputation. No reputation, took upon him the form of servant, made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now then, Lord help us. Christ was a king. He was sitting in heaven. He had everything he needed. But to be able to make a plan of salvation, to be able to make a plan that would work, to be able to make a plan that would help everybody, praise God. He didn't want to make it for 3/4 or 7/8. He wanted to make it for 100% of mankind that was born after that point whereby he could speak and help them out. No matter what the situation was, no matter how far down they were, he wanted to be able to get down there with them, so he humbled himself all the way down and become a servant, so to speak, of no reputation. Just got on down there. Listen, folks, tonight, I could be wrong because I've never been there. I've never been in that kind of position of highness, of authority, of a king, a queen, a president. But I would think to be able to go from this high up, so to speak, down to this low would not be an easy thing to do. But he done it for you, bless God. He done it to help you, to bless you, so he could get down there with you and cry with you and bless you and lift you and encourage you. Whatever you might need, save, deliver, and uplift in every way, he done it for you tonight. He didn't come down here touting who he was. Earl's not here tonight. But we were in D.C. together in 1978. I believe that's the first time I went to Washington, D.C. And he and I made about a 2-week trip, took in 2 camp meetings, Holly Hill and Greenbank. And we went to D.C. for a little bit. And I don't know, but I would think, in a sense, that if I was the president, that I might want to kind of want to just ease out of town. But not the president or his motorcade. We was doing something, I don't remember what, and all of a sudden we heard all this noise and all this racket and all these horns and sirens and everything, whatever it was. And we look at one another like, what's going on? So we got to inquiring. He said, oh, the president's leaving town. That was in motorcade. In other words, he was making a lot of racket. Listen, folks, Jesus didn't come in like that. He came in just as quiet as he could, except when he was born in a stable, when he born in lowest you can get. The bottom line was the angels come down and met the shepherds in the field and hailed the greatest birth that had ever been and ever will be, praise God, and done it for you and I. So it was a lot of noise made, so to speak, a lot of glory, a lot of singing, and I'd like to have been there that night. But Jesus himself come in the most humble way that could be. Took upon him the form of a servant. Made himself of no reputation. Was made in the likeness. Listen, he took on the body of a man whereby he could feel the pain whereby we feel. He could understand our aches and our pains. Now, he didn't live as long as some of us are in here, but he still was able, so he could get down there and he could understand when we're crying and saying, Lord, I'm hurting at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning. He'd be able to say, I'm going to help you, child. I understand that. Made himself of no reputation. Thank the Lord, he just got right on down there. And because of that, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He passed the test, so to speak. I was praying, Cousin Harlan Sorrell's house one time several years ago, and I seen him unbind a picture. I don't really want to call it a vision because it wasn't like the one that I had in Oregon. It wasn't like the one I had in Myrtle because I was wide awake all three times, but it was different. But I saw a form, had a long white pearl, beautiful pearl white or whatever you want to call it, brilliant white outfit on, and he had a banner right here, like Val Victorians wear when they graduate. And on that, it said the Word. The Word. Some people want to say, well, I can take this out of the Bible, and I can take that out of the Bible, and I can do this and that. The Bible said the Word. Listen tonight. Jesus is the Word. He is every bit of the Word. He helped write the Word. He is the Word. And tonight, if we're going to be able to have what we need to have, we're going to have to agree, we're going to have to line up with, we're going to have to open up to, in every way, the Word of God. Because when we deal with Him, when we get on the other side, and we look at Him, we're looking at the Word. And that Word, well, let me give you another scripture here. I hadn't thought about this. This wasn't in plan. Let's see, Hebrews, the fourth chapter. It said, for the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and the incense of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of whom? Eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now then, the Word. The Word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper. Dividing, getting right on down to the very depths of what we need. Discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Sometimes think, well, we got this covered up, we got that all done, this and that and the other. Listen, he knows all about it, because neither is there any creature that's not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. All right, let's go a little further. Let's go to Matthew, the 11th chapter. Now, I'm not going to preach totally on Christ tonight. I'm going to get it down to us in a little bit here. But I want to lay a foundation over what Archie used to say. 11:28, some of my favorite scriptures here in the New Testament. It said, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden. Said, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Brother Philip, give me 1 Peter 2 and 21, Peter, please. 1 Peter 2 and 21. So he said, come unto me. Now, saints, this is not just talking about one person or one class of people or the unsaved or the hypocrites or backsliders. It's talking to every one of us tonight. Come unto me, all ye that labor. There is people down here or in this service tonight, come to this meeting, might have a heavy, heavy load. Might be laboring under something. Might be wanting to get victory up. Maybe the load is about as heavy as they've ever had. He said, I will give you rest. Now then, take my yoke upon you. Yoke up with me, praise God. Yoke up and get real close with me. Young people, yoke up with the Lord. Middle age, yoke up with the Lord. Old people, yoke up with the Lord. Learn of me, praise God. For I am meek and lowly in heart. I am meek and lowly in heart. I am a place where that I am not touting myself. He said there in one place, he said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who give to all men liberally and upbraideth not.
When we need something from God, we don't have to expect Him, or we don't expect Him, or at least I don't, to look down in a disdaining way upon me if I don't understand something, if I'm in real trouble, if I'm crying out. I was praying going home this afternoon to switch out to get ready to go to California, and I said, Lord, it's going to take You. I can't do this by myself. And I said, I don't know how You're going to do it, but I said, that very God that helped me forgive all them people, that very God that gave me victory over here, that very Jesus Christ is still sitting on the throne, and He ain't able to help me with this. I don't know how He's going to do it, but I know He can do it, praise God, because I've got the experience of 40-something years of Him coming and helping and blessing and working. He's lowly. He's not touting Himself as something great, so to speak, and yet He is great, but He's lowly in mind. He can get down there with you no matter what your education might be, no matter how far you went in college, how smart you are, how unsmart you are. The bottom line is He's able to get down there with anybody and get with them and teach them and help them and bless them and work with them, praise God. All right, what does that say? 1 Peter 2:21.
For even hereunto
are you called,
because Christ also suffered for us,
leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps. Now then, He lived a perfect life of lowliness. And He said that I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest into your souls. You know why? Because we get right on down there with Him. He lifts the load. He takes care of whatever we might be, and it brings a rest and a peace and a joy to the soul of mankind. It lifts them. It blesses them. So He said there, He said, leaving us an example that we should follow in His footsteps. Lord, help us to be willing. Now I want to ask us a question. Have you ever had a problem? Have you ever had an out with somebody? I guess you'd say it. In other words, you and a person had a problem. Anybody ever had that? Surely I'm not the only one. The Lord led such a life of lowliness that when you and I have a problem with somebody else, He is more than qualified to come and say, you need to do this. I had a problem one time with a brother, a number of years ago, and I was home praying one afternoon or morning, whatever it was, and wife and children were gone somewhere, and I was just there in the house all by myself, and I'm down praying, and the Lord spoke to me, and He said, you made a mistake too, child. And I literally looked up, raised my hands up, and I said, who, me? I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything. He said, you made a mistake. I didn't do it, Lord. Yes, you did. He was able to get down there and, so to speak, let me know without a shadow of doubt that I was in the wrong just like the other man was. When there's problems between two people, folks, everybody at least makes one mistake. Nobody's perfect in a situation. Somebody speak out of turn. Maybe there's anger shown or whatever it might be. There's going to be mistakes made when two people clash with one another. Husbands and wives, fathers and children, mothers and children, it's nothing perfect. The only perfect one is Jesus Christ. And He has the right, because of the lowliness that He's done, because He got down to the place where He can say, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have said that. You should go right now and take care of that. He told me exactly what to do. He gave me scriptures, I think in the 5th chapter of Matthew, that to love your... Well, let me just turn there and get what He did give me. Matthew 5:44, He said, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be what?
the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Listen, folks, tonight you and I need to, and he told me, he said, this is what you need to do. You need to love that person. You need to get down in there and you need to do good to them. And so forth. So I, first chance I got, which was Monarch. I don't remember how long this was before Monarch, but Monarch was the first time I was able to meet with this brother. And talked to him, we met, and I told him I wanted to meet with him, and we met, and we sat down, and we discussed this, and we got it all worked out. You know why? Because everybody got low. If you want to work something out with somebody that you got a problem with, everybody's going to have to get low. The lower you get, the quicker it will work out. I've had situations that I was working in, trying to iron problems out between two people or a husband and wife or two couples or whatever it might be. And I have one side that's standing for their own way, and I have the other side that's getting real low, and I never could get it to work out. But when everybody's willing to get on down there, Lord help us, to get on down there. To get low, praise God. How much of the glory do you want? When I walked away from that man and started back toward where I was staying, the Lord come down and he poured me out so much glory, I was ready to turn around and go back and do it again, praise God. How much blessings do you want tonight? If you've got a problem with somebody, if you're needing to iron something out with them, I want to beg you tonight, get down low. The lower you get, the better off you're going to be, praise God. And the Lord will bless you and work with you and help you in every way you need. He'll take your side. He will work with you. Let's go to Luke, the 14th chapter and the 8th verse. Luke 14. I believe it's the 8th verse. Let's see here. No, 7th verse. He put forth a parable to those which were bidden. When he marked how they chose out the chief rulers, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee, and him come and say to thee, give this man place. And thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room. And when he hath bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sat at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. All right, 1 Peter 5 and 6. 1 Peter 5 and 6. It says here that, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, sometimes people come in and they think that they can just move right up, be number one. Get right on up there. But what he's telling us here, if you start low, you'll go up. If you start high, you can come down and then maybe go back up. So Lord, help us to come in on the low side. No matter what it might be, I was in a situation one time, and Brother Leslie told me, he said, this is how I found out to work with this. He said, if you'll do this, I found it's working. Now, to be honest with you, I looked at him and I thought, that won't work. That won't work. And he told me, he said, what you got to do is be real humble. Real humble. Okay. He's talking, I'm listening, but I'm thinking in the back of my mind, I don't think it'll work with these people. So I was fasting and praying. And going from one place to another, and the Lord come in, sat down in the seat beside me in my car, and he said, what I want you to do is humble all the way to the bottom.
I want you to get down there just as low as you can get, child. I want you to let them walk all over you, stomp you in every way, whatever they want to do, let them do it. Yes, sir. One again, my elder was right. So I went in the meeting, several of us was there, and they thrashed me and beat me and stomped on me, and they done everything they could do to me that night. And by the grace of God, I let them do it. I got on down. The problem was we couldn't get everything resolved because they wasn't willing to get down low either. I got it. They trumped me. Listen, folks, if you want to get things settled, everybody, when you go into a meeting or when you and a wife's having a problem or you and the children's having trouble, everybody's going to have to get down there at the same time to do it. Get on down there. Daddy said, I'm daddy. You're going to have to apologize to your children sometime, folks. I mean, I may be wrong, but I did. I made some mistakes, and I've had to say, girls, I shouldn't have said that or done it that way or whatever. I'm sorry. I've had to do it with both of my wives. Jiz and Rebecca's told me, and Molly's told me, said, Carl, you speak sharp sometimes. I think, I ain't speaking sharp. What are you talking about? Well, that's the way, what's the receiving end that counts. It ain't what you say so much, but it's how you say it and how they receive it. And if they receive that as a sharpness, I thought about it. Thought about it recently. I thought, Get on down there, Carl Schaefer. Get on down there, husbands. Wives, get on down there. Children, young people, get on down there. Come in low. Come into a situation low. Come into the congregation low. People sometimes come in and like Brother Hargrave, it seems like they're riding in a chariot. Get on down there real low. And as you come in, and as you do your thing in a humble, in a low manner, the Lord will bring you up. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he shall exalt you in due time. The way the Lord got that little scripture across to me, I was cleaning a bathtub one time. Folks, this bathtub was totally sunken down in the floor. I mean, all that was up was just the edge, which was maybe that high. The rest of it was totally down. Well, the only way I could clean it was either lay prostrate on the floor and reach as far as I could, or I had to flat get in the tub to get it done. I was laying flat on the floor one day, and the Lord gave me that scripture, said, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God. Get on down there, child. Get on down there as low as you need to get. Lord, help us to get just as low. If you've got a situation, get on down there where you need to be. All right, let's go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Start in the first verse. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now he said here, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation. Sometimes I think we get to thinking we're not anything, and we're not. But we've got the highest calling in the land. We've got the highest vocation. President is way on up there. Our calling, our vocation's higher than that. Yeah. Our vocation's an eternal call, and it's an eternal work. And it's something that the Lord wants you and I to live worthy of that. The president is a man that is supposed to act
so to speak, in certain ways, like a president. You do this, you don't do that, and so forth. They're supposed to do that. They're supposed to work that away. Listen, folks, we are too. Our calling is higher than his. Our vocation is greater than his. And the Lord's wanting you and I to live a life that will demand the confidence of the people, whereby is the life that we're living, we're dealing with, we're trying to help, we're trying to get saved, we're trying to get them out to meeting. We're doing that in a way, and that will challenge them. I went to my station one time many years ago, and have you ever got up and got up on the wrong side of bed? Maybe you just wasn't in the best mood. And I don't know what my problem was that morning, but I just wasn't exactly on top of everything. And so one of my customers that lived in the area come down, and he and I was friends and everything, and I made some kind of comment. He looked at me and said, "What's wrong with you?" I wasn't showing the best kingship, if you want to call it that, that morning. My vocation wasn't running at the top. And so he wants you to walk worthy, the worthy of a perfect plan of salvation, an individual that lives a life that is called, that is living a sin-free, a sanctified, pure, holy life, one that the people can look at and say, thank the Lord for somebody that's living a righteous life. By the grace of God. Now then, you do it with all lowliness. Now, lowliness is the first word here, the first word in this second chapter. The third verse, if I can say it right, the third word of the second verse, but the bottom line is he doesn't say with meekness right here first or long suffering. He said with lowliness, with all lowliness, total lowliness, complete lowliness and meekness. Gentleness with long suffering. I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you're going to help people to get saved, you're going to have some long suffering. Amen. The first time probably you invite them to meeting, they may not go. Matter of fact, I've invited people, never did get them out. Tried. One man let me know one time. He was a friend of mine. We'd worked together him and his wife had separated and divorced, and he had moved a woman in there. And he said, "Now, Carl," he said, "I'm on one end of the trailer and she's on the other." I said, "All right, LC, but I got news for you. You're going to meet in the middle." I ain't stupid, LC. I wasn't married at that time, but I wasn't stupid, so to speak. I said, "You two going to meet in the middle." And he told me later, another time, he said, "I can pull the wool over your eyes, Carl Schaefer," but he said, "I can't pull it over God's." We can't pull the wool over God's eyes. Either we're going to get down there with lowliness and with meekness and with long suffering, we're going to be willing to do everything we can do to help them, to go with them. I know of a situation one time where somebody, one of the leaders in the congregation, they would get off quite a ways at home, they'd have problems, and they'd call a certain family in that congregation to come help them. Well, the problem of it was the husband of the house was not in the best health. But they felt obligated, even though they didn't feel good. He didn't, not her so much at that time, but he didn't feel good, but they felt like, I got to go help them. I need to go work with them. I need to help them. Listen, folks, there's a lot of people out there that need our help tonight. And we do it with lowliness. We get on down there real low. Maybe they chew us out. Maybe they chew us up and spit us out. But the bottom line is we just stay right on down there. And as they do all that in our meekness and in our long suffering, we let them know we love you. We let them know that we want to help you. We want to let them know, hey, this is worth doing. We're serving God. Now then, it's also the saint for bearing one another in love. Let's go to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Back to where I was preaching Sunday morning. Philippians 2 and 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now then, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, fellowship of the Spirit, bowels and mercy, and there's all of that. Now the minute the brother here that's writing said, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded. Like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, having unity, being of one mind, a unified mind. And let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. There is times that strife can break out. It can break out in a congregation. They can be maybe not in the whole congregation, but maybe a little pocket. And something get going between two people or two families or whatever, be strife. Are any vainglory going? But it said, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. If we put ourselves down at the bottom, if we get down there low, if we get down there where the Lord would have us to be, it will take care of this kind of stuff. Let nothing be done through strife. Don't strive over it. Don't have any vainglory over it. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Sometimes we get to thinking, well, I'm better than that person. I'm better than that person. There was a saint, sister, in a family reunion one time a number of years ago, and there was a person at that reunion that didn't have the best appearance. I'd say the best smell. And they looked, and I'll be honest with you, when they told me what happened, I was a little bit aghast because I know this person quite well and I couldn't hardly see them doing what they said they were doing. I've got that much confidence in them. I've worked with them quite a bit. But they said that they were looking down on this person, looking down and thinking, just giving them this. And the Lord spoke to them something like this and said, you would be in the same spot they are if it hadn't been for me. Listen, folks, no matter what a person looks like, no matter how old or young, no matter how clean or dirty, no matter what nationality they are, if they're lost and they're run, Jesus Christ is after them and we should be too. We should be getting on down there helping them and working with them. Doing whatever we can do. Look not every man on his own things. In other words, look on the help of the other man. Work with him on the things of others. Look down there and say, hey, that person needs me. I'm going to go help them. All right, let's go to Matthew, the 15th chapter. And about the, let me see here where I want to start. 15:21 of Matthew. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. As disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and he said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, but yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered, and he said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. This is one of the greatest set of scriptures on humility, I feel, in the New Testament. This woman come needing help. The disciples didn't want her, said, send her away. She had a serious problem. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. If we had a child in that position, we would want help. We would want the Lord's help. We would want the church's help. We'd want somebody's help. We need help. I need help. She needs help. So she evidently had heard of the great Jesus. And she come there thinking, this man can help me. And right away, he didn't even speak to her. His disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. She cried after us. We don't want her around. Get her out of here. And then he said, but he answered and said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The bottom line was, he's telling her, I wasn't sent to help you. I wasn't sent to help you. All right, then she worshiped him. She worshiped him saying, Lord, help me. How low are we willing to go, folks? How low are we willing to go? If we want help from God, how low are we willing to get it? I'm going to tell you, this woman could have been offended at the very first thought. When the disciples said, get rid of her. When Jesus said, I'm not sent. I'm not even going to answer you. I'm not doing anything. He just kind of going his way. And here she is begging for mercy. And he wasn't paying her a bit of attention, but she didn't quit. How low are we willing to go, folks? How low are we willing to go? The Lord likes people like this. So he said here, he answered her not a word, I'm not sent, but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I wasn't sent. She came and she worshiped him. She got down low, folks. She got down, she worshiped, she was pleading with him. And then he answered and he said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. He's calling her a dog. How many of you would have stayed in there about that time? How many of you, if he would have called you a dog, what would you have done? What would you have answered? Would you have kept worshiping him? Would you have kept following him? Would you have kept saying, Lord, have mercy and help me? He called her a dog. Let this set in your mind. He called her a dog. He had no respect, looked like, for her. He had no interest in helping her. And he is doing everything. Listen, folks, today Jesus might not answer the very first prayer that we pray to get saved. Brother Sammons, when he came out the altar, he didn't get it immediately. He had to pray a little while. And finally, after a point, he said, Lord, if you can do anything for me, have mercy on my soul. Help me. Have mercy. And he got it. Listen, it wasn't the first prayer, the second prayer. There have been people down through the years that had prayed quite a little while to get saved. Brother Lewis Kimball, when he went in, he started having problems and troubles. And they was telling him, friend, what? It looks to me like the Lord dealing with you, huh? The Lord dealing with you, Lewis, huh? Lewis, the Lord dealing with you. You think so? So he decided he was going to try it out. He literally got in a closet and he fasted for 3 days. No food. If I remember right, no food, no water. I love this man. The first time Brother Lewis Kimball and I met, we clicked. And we stayed clicked all the way till he died. We worked together and we had one heart and one mind. He got in that closet. 3 days, folks. Wasn't the first prayer, it wasn't the first hour, it wasn't the second hour, the third hour. Listen, folks, sometimes you got to pray where you can pray, bless your heart. You got to get on down there. You got to get real lowly. There was a preacher a number of years ago that he would literally climb in hollow logs. And he would get in there and he would pray and he would pray and he would pray till God let the power come down. One time he was called to pray for a woman that was very, very sick and looked like she might die, and they called him to come. He said, I want to pray first. He got in a log. He prayed for 17 hours straight. When he came out and he went over there, they said, what took you so long? He said, I had to pray 15 hours for me and 2 hours for her. Listen, folks, we got to get on down there, praise God. Get down there in the depths of the log, so to speak, down in the hole, in the closet, wherever it might be. But when Brother Lewis Kimball got through, after 3 days of begging and pleading and crying, praise God, he prayed through, and he got what he wanted. Get on down there, children. Get on down there. This woman had to get down there. You're nothing but a dog, so to speak. She just got a little lower. Well, it's not even a pretty dog. She just got a little lower. I admit I don't like every breed of dog out there. And he might just, well, I don't even like that little poodle or whatever. I ain't picking on poodles now. Just let her have it with both barrels. And she took that and she turned it around and she said, truth, Lord. She's still worshiping, isn't she, folks? She ain't run off yet. Brother Kimball didn't leave after the first hour. He didn't leave after the second hour. He said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, and save me. He just kept getting on down there. Listen, folks, the devil builds some stuff up in our minds and we've got to keep praying and praying till we get down to the place where God wants us to be to get it. Like that preacher, he said it took him 15 hours and he was saved and been a preacher of many years and a very successful man. I enjoyed the book that I read on him. But the bottom line is, folks, we got to pray for us sometime first before we can help somebody else. Whew, I didn't know I was going to get into all this. She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs. In other words, if you just give me something, give me a crumb. Listen, the power of God is so great, folks, even a crumb can heal anything, praise God. Oh, here the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, she didn't quit. She got as low as she needed to go. How low are you willing to go? Great is thy faith, and be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole. Oh, her daughter was made whole in that very hour. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Now, folks, there's times that we can run into problems, into something, and we just kind of get discouraged and walk away. Why, it ain't going to happen. I can't get it done. Just get on down there a little lower. Pray another prayer. Don't quit. The devil have us running in every way that he can if we ain't careful. And the Lord said, I want you to get a little lower, child. I want you to get a little lower. Get up under the table, praise God. Brother Salmon said one time, he had gone out and preached, this was real early in his ministry, best I remember. And anyway, things didn't go so good. So he got a bit back to the house and he went to pray. And he got down on his knees, his hands, and he said, that ain't low enough. He just got up under his wife's treadle sewing machine and got under there and got as low as he could get. He said, God, come down. The Lord began to bless him, praise God. I'm going to tell you, saints, the best thing we can do is get on down there, the lowest of the low, and the Lord will come down and pour you out a blessing. I tell you, he'll put some food on that table that, bless God, you won't be eating the crumbs, you'll be eating the steaks. Woo! Big steaks, big old ribeyes with baked potatoes. Oh, and good salads. Oh, better than cattlemen's too. All right, Romans 12, 16. Romans 12, 16. Rejoice with them, 12 and 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peacefully with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for as written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So he's saying here, I looked up to see if I remember right, because a lot of times these chapters are broke up in different areas. I turned to Matthew in my commentary and I said, Matthew, where do you say this is at? It starts at the first verse and goes all the way down through 21. There's no break. There's no break. But there's a lot of good scripture above this 16th verse. But be of the same mind. Rejoice. Weep. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Be of the same mind one toward another. And in that mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. In other words, get on down there and associate with the lowly. He's not wanting us to be associated with all the big boys. He wants you to associate with the little boys too. And the little girls, so to speak. Excuse me, I'm saying that, but you get my point. In other words, he wants us to associate with everybody, whether they be real, real humble. Maybe they don't have the money you've got. Maybe they don't have the house you've got. Maybe they don't have the savings account you got or the business you got. But the bottom line is they need blessings just like you do, and you can be a blessing to them. Amen. All right, Lord, help us now. Just get on down there and be friends with them. Love them, help them, bless them. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Listen, folks, sometimes if those people up there that's a little bit high, those people right there, they too high can get you in trouble. So get on down there with the low. Get on down there with the low. Mind not high things, but condescend to men. All right, let's finish up in Psalms and Proverbs, and we'll be through. Psalms 138 and 6. Psalms 138 and 6. Though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Now then, let's just comment on that, and then I'll get to Proverbs. Though the Lord be high, there isn't anybody higher, greater, more powerful than God and Christ and the Holy Spirit. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He has all power in heaven and earth. He is able to do anything he wants that he wants to do. But yet he said he hath respect unto the lowly. Why? Because he was lowly. He was lowly. So consequently, those that get his attention are those that are real low. You want your prayers answered? Get down real low. If you don't think you're low enough, do like Brother Salmon said, climb under something, so to speak. Get down real low. He loves the lowly. He loves to bless the lowly. He loves to help the lowly. He loves to answer prayers for the lowly. He hath respect. He hath admiration, so to speak, unto the lowly. Those people that are getting on down there and say, Lord, have mercy. The Pharisee went in there and he talked about himself and all that, this and this and this and this. And the other man went in and he smote his breast. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord said, that man is the one that went down, because he that exalted himself shall be abased. And he that abased himself, so to speak, shall be exalted. That man got on down there. He didn't have a long prayer. It didn't take him very long. But the Lord saw him. The other man over here prayed with himself. The Lord wasn't looking and admiring him, but he was admiring this man over here. He has respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Lord have mercy. And we heard a very good message the other night on pride. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Have you ever seen two young men, well, let's see how I want to say it. Maybe a younger, let's say two brothers. Let's just make it common here. Two brothers, older brother and younger brother. And they're fussing with one another, so to speak. And so the younger one says, I'm going to get the other one. Now, one's tall and one's shorter. And that older brother, he just reaches out, puts his hand right about here on his forehead and just holds him back. And that little one's just a firing, flailing, doing everything he can do to hit him, and he can't even touch him. Listen, folks, God can hold you back. He said, but the proud he knoweth afar off. He holds off the proud. He holds them back. He's not going to bless them. He wants them to get down like he did. Listen, folks, tonight, like I said the other night, pride is the one thing that's going to, I would say, cause more people to go to hell than anything else. Because like Joseph preached the other night, bless your heart, the bottom line is it will hinder people, if nothing else, coming to the altar. It'll hinder them from getting help because they think there's somebody. And the devil gets to working with pride. He loves pride. The devil loves pride, and the Lord hates pride. And so the Lord is just... He says he has respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. There was a man one time, I didn't know him real, real well, but I knew him. We were cleaning a house. House about 10 to 12,000 square foot. We went in two times a week. I went in one day a week, cleaned all day in that house, getting ready for the weekend. And then three or four of us would come in on Monday to clean up after everything they'd done over the weekend. And this was a son-in-law. He was married to Paul Clement's only daughter. And Paula, and I can't think of what his name was. I don't know if you remember Niecy or not. Yeah, Paul Clements, and he had a daughter named Paula and a son named Ken, if I remember right. And then there was Todd, and can't remember the other boy's name. But anyway, this young man was married to the daughter. Paul Clements had given this young man everything he had. He raised him up, so to speak. And I don't know what the boy had to start with, but I was told through the maid that Paul Clements had given him base there. They had a fine home. He drove fine cars, sports cars, what I'm trying to say. He drove sports cars, and it was because his daddy-in-law helped him to get it. One day he was going down the long hall of this house, which was about 100 foot long, just the hallway. And he was going down there and he was walking and walking, and I was standing back up here watching him. And I looked at that young man and I thought, pride is just spilling out all from you. And I thought, what have you got to be proud about because your daddy-in-law gave you everything you got? All right now. The Lord give us everything we got. He's still giving us everything we got. You're here tonight because he allowed you to be here. And then we get to thinking sometime we're somebody, like that doctor in that house that we went to clean that time. He come in and he was a fourth generation, if I remember right, surgeon. And he come in, he had the green scrubs on, and he come in there, and two of us cleaning. He walked in, and I looked at him, I said, "Why, you look like a doctor." He got, and this is no lie now, he raised up like this, he goes, "I am a doctor." I got news for you. The two of us couldn't hit the door fast enough to keep laughing in his face. The way he done it cracked Paula and I up big time. And we were trying to get out that door before we busted out laughing right there at him. I am a doctor. Listen, folks, we are nothing. Because the God of heaven has given us everything we got. Get on down there. That little lady wanted help. Get on down there. If he don't answer you the first time, stick in there. He don't answer you the second time, stick in there. Be a Brother Lewis Kimball, stay in that closet 3 days if you have to, till you get your answers through. All right, 3:34 of the good book of Proverbs. He said, "Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly." He scorneth. There's people out there that look down their nose at other people and they think they're somebody, like I've been preaching, and I am somebody. I am a doctor. I am a rich man. I am a husband. I am a powerful man. I'm a businessman. I got all this, this, and this. And the Lord said he scorneth the scorners. He has got the power and the authority to look down on anybody. And he said there that he loves the humble. He loves to bless them. He has respect under them. He wants to help them. How low will you go, folks? If we need help here, if we passed up every service in this meeting, and you're sitting there thinking, "I can't get it," the Lord's got it for you because he's down there and he's done proving it. So he's got it because he has had everything given to him. All right, let me give you another example. David, if I can think of their name, one of the Rockefeller, David Rockefeller. There's five sons. David Rockefeller wanted to run Chase Manhattan Bank. Well, he didn't come into Chase Manhattan Bank and stride in there one day and start telling everybody, "I'm David Rockefeller, you're going to do what I tell you to do." He didn't do that. In the book that I read about the Rockefeller family, he went all the way to the bottom. He started out cleaning, and he kept working his way up, and he worked his way to this position, that position, worked his way all the way to the top. He was running the whole show, and when he did, he had the respect of everybody there, and he had the respect of people around the world. He was running Chase Manhattan Bank, powerful bank, big bank, a lot of money. But the bottom line is he started at the bottom and he worked his way to the top. Jesus went to the bottom and he's at the top now. And every tongue's going to confess, every knee's going to bow. And the wise thing we need to do tonight, if you need still help in this meeting, you need to get down low. And he'll bring you up. He'll raise you up, praise God. Humble yourself, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, and he'll exalt you.